Because I was like, I want some proper southern food. So I had collard greens, I had yams, I had cornbread, I had all that stuff. I had dark meat, I had white meat, I had this whole shabam. Bri had sweet tea, and it literally was like to her head, obviously. But the chicken I had, because you went from something so sweet to the chicken so damn salty, I was like, shit, my stuff's better. Like, honestly, it was just... You need it.
You said your chicken. Wait, you said your fried chicken is better than Time Out, a staple in Chapel Hill?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
That's a pretty large claim there, John.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It is,
You want your coaches going on with super fans who don't know squat? Okay, gotcha. What does that get you? It gets you crap like this.
It's the super fan show. Super fan show. Carolina. Super fan show. Man, UNC on the wristband, it's going down like quicksand. All the fans keep listening. It's the super fan show, super fan show. Welcome to Carolina. Super fan show, super fan show. What you know about the six man in the British Tar Heel? Every year's our year. Coming straight from across the pond to the Carolinas, all year.
Welcome to another episode of the Super Fan Show, episode 2. Episode 1 went so well. People are talking about it, which is great. Obviously, my name is George. I'm the British Tar Heel. I have with me...
I'm B-Dot, man. Six man. Carolina basketball. Let's do this, Jeezy.
Mate, honestly, we're going to talk about live action in a moment and how much you killed it, because it was absolutely insane. And like, I'm literally... You're an international superstar, mate. You're on my TV. You're on my TV across the pond.
International superstar, man.
International. Mate, honestly, just your face, boom, just like that. Mate, it's fantastic.
No, that was lit, man. I haven't even had a chance to go back and watch it. I don't even think I can now. I think it's probably down at this point. But it all happened so fast, G. Like, even the picture that you sent me with me, I remember walking down the ramp.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the camera, because at first I was doing this to the crowd and I hit the cameraman. And I was like, oh, and that's what even made me see it. His red light was on. So I just,
we'll relive it. So what's going to happen is, obviously, we're going to go through it. Obviously, I watched it. So I've got loads of notes from different things that excited me. And we'll kind of, you'll relive it through me. But mate, you've had a busy weekend, NASCAR.
Yeah, that was my first time at a NASCAR race, man. I actually got a chance to meet the president, Big Steve. What is his last name? Having a brain fart right now.
Mr. NASCAR.
Steve Phelps, okay. The president of NASCAR. It's like meeting the Roger Goodell of the NFL or the Adam Silver of the NBA. I actually shook his hand, let him know it was my first race. I had a Dale Earnhardt jacket on. I got a chance to take a picture with Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his daddy's jacket. Nelly performed, but it isn't something, G, that I could see myself going to a lot. I couldn't see myself frequenting NASCAR races a lot. It was a nice little vibe. Speed season. It's an initiative to get more diversity in NASCAR, right? So they want to get more black folk at the track. So Speed season had this area set off. They had a DJ, unlimited drinks, unlimited food. That was a nice vibe, but you're just watching cars go in circles. Like, you don't know who's beefing with who's rubbing who. You don't know who's in what car. They're moving around. I'm looking for number 31 and I can't find 31. It's just ridiculous. Like, I wish it's on a Sunday, so I'm wishing that I could have the football game up going as well so that I could at least keep up with my football scores and my fantasy football and stuff like that. But that's low-key disrespectful. It's not like you're at a basketball game with a football game scores going on, you know, so you want to respect the sport, you know, so, but I really learned a lot and I really enjoyed it. I didn't know that the pit crew took it as serious as they did. Like, the pit crew, they actually have competition all week long. They have practices all week long so that they can perform on Saturday. I was down in the pit crews and, you know, you see guys just trying to practice, trying to, you know, getting their times right. They jack a car up, put tires on, get them in 10 seconds. Before I went to NASCAR Saturday morning, I walk out into the garage and I have a flat tire. Took me 30 minutes for one tire. These dudes, four tires in 10 seconds. But it was super cool, man. Big shouts to Erica and who else had me out there? Just all of NASCAR for having me out there, and I really appreciate it. I'll probably go back, but it's got to be the right situation. Like, it's not something I can see myself frequenting, but yeah, I really had a good time.
I've got a NASCAR hat. I need to – I'll try and find it for the next episode, actually, with one of the local teams. Because it's based in Charlotte. Obviously, the museum is in Charlotte, isn't it? NASCAR Museum is in Charlotte. How quick – do you know this? I'm going to ask you some questions very quick. How quick do NASCAR cars go? Do you know the speed?
200 miles an hour.
Woo! So, yeah. So, in England and Europe even and pretty much a lot of – it's getting bigger in America, but Formula One. You've heard of Formula One?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's huge. Like, that's massive. And they're going like 230 miles an hour, their cars. But the thing is, NASCAR, at least you see them. In Formula One, you just zoom and that's it. Yeah. And you just have to wait until they come round again. Zoom, they're gone again. So it's like, it's a really popular sport. But it goes, how long does a NASCAR race go on for?
I think it was about 4 hours, and then they had an issue where one time it just got real quiet on the track, and I was like, what's going on? Like, is there a halftime? Is it intermission? They were like, no, it's caution flags. Apparently that was a wreck or something like that. And see, like, I just don't know enough of the rules to really understand it. You know what I mean?
So
I
left. Each other. You can bump each other, right?
Yeah. Like, but I don't know why, but they need different race car drivers. They need storylines. Like, NFL players have it, NBA players. Like, you know these players. So, like, when they play each other, oh, man, he's going up against him. There's going to be a great storyline. In NASCAR, I don't know any of the storylines. So I just want to do the easy thing and root for the black guy. But I don't even know what car Bubba Wallace was even driving. God.
Isn't it like Jordan? Didn't he have, like, a Jordan car? He's, like, Jordan athlete, Jordan, isn't he?
Yeah, I took a picture in front of the Jordan car. That joint was hard. It was orange. Yeah. I had to do that now.
What we'll do, and because I don't know that much about NASCAR, is it more of a Southern sport? Is that correct? Is that fair?
It was invented in the South. It was invented right here in my neck of the woods of North Carolina. Richard Petty, the home of Richard Petty, the home of, they say that Dale Earnhardt Jr. lives about 5-10 miles from me down here in the Charlotte area, down in Mooresville. So NASCAR, much like wrestling, was invented in North Carolina.
Man, we're going to have a whole episode just on wrestling. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I saw your shade you threw at me on some nerdy Instagram story. The pro wrestling. Mate, I wrote the pro wrestling in. I'm a big wrestling fan. We'll save it for another episode.
Wrestling is cool when you're 6 and 10. Right. And when you're 30, it's like, unless you're the one wrestling, kind of weird.
I'm going to send you some actual wrestling now. AW, anyway, move on. What we're going to do, though, is I would like to know more about NASCAR because it's a Southern sport and probably a lot of our listeners know. So anything we should know about NASCAR and why it's an amazing sport, write it down in the comments.
Absolutely.
Because, it would be good for us to know. Okay. Amazing, mate. So you had – that was on the Saturday, but before – also, Coach Hubert Davis was there.
Yeah. I'm out there, and they said, you know that he's going to be the Grand Marshal.
Yeah.
I said, what does the Grand Marshal do? They said, the Grand Marshal says, drivers, start your engine. And I was like, that's awesome. So I was over there getting pictures and stuff and videos of all the racers. Before the race, all the drivers are on stage together. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking they're just all cool and cordial, but behind the scenes, come to find out, Sips T, these guys don't like each other at all. I said, well, they should magnify that. They should let us know that they don't like each other. Then we're watching the race. We know what it means when car number one cuts off car number 11, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not the here nor there. But as I'm looking, I see my man walking through the crowd. So I get my phone out, and I'm just recording, and I pop up in front of him. He's like, my man. You know how we do, man. We hug. He let me know where his wife, Lisa, and the kids were. I went over there and hugged them. And then he went out there, and he said, racers, it's live action. Oh, no, I said, let me find out HD branded live action too. Mate. I love it.
Mate, he's copywriting that for sure.
I love it. And a matter of fact, I don't know if I said this last podcast. I don't even think I had done it yet. But last week, I actually rewatched the national championship game versus Kansas. And that was my first time actually watching it on television. I was there. And again, so much happens when you're there. You miss a lot of stuff. Like, I didn't know Brady got hit twice. I missed that. But after he said, it's live action, Tracy, we went on a 16-2 scoring run, or like a 22-4 scoring run. It was unreal. Like, they super locked. I don't know what he told them in that huddle or what was said in that huddle, but they came out and balled, man. Like, I cannot wait for this season. That's what makes live action this year that much more exciting, dude.
Well, mate, obviously you were there. You had probably one of the best seats in the house. You were absolutely here, there, everywhere, front row. Because of that, you got to see a lot of things no one else does. And that's a lot of behind the scenes exclusive content that you can provide. Yeah. And we're very lucky on this podcast because you had someone going around with you filming. Is that right?
The greatest, man. Her name is Erin Mizell. She does all the sports stuff for North Carolina A&T State University. And I've always wanted to get in front of her lens. And I asked her, I was like, would you do me a solid and please just shadow me? Whatever you capture is what you capture. And she said, I would love to. I've been wanting to get over there for years. So she came through, she cut the cameras on, man, and she got footage that she was recording when I didn't even know, like when I'm on the daggone riding up on the elevator, I didn't even know she was there recording stuff. She got footage that I didn't even know. And I just wanted to share that with the Superfan Show audience.
What we'll do is we'll play that now so we can see it, and then we'll talk about live action.
Okay, bet.
It'll be a little later.
It's perfect. Nobody else can do that. That's the man right here. The man, the myth, the legend. The guy responsible for me being here.
Not at all.
Eat roots, baby. The crown. That's when it's time to punch the clock. When I throw the crown on. Listen, we're cutting down nets this year, you understand?
What? You already see it, man.
Meet us in the mic. We're cutting down nets
got
this year, you
got
understand?
To.
Oh, Queen Kelly.
I'm so wild.
Oh, hey,
y'all ain't gonna win the ACC. Then we're gonna win the Natty. It's about to be off the
what
damn
thing.
That part.
You see that six man? Huh? You see that? Yeah. Moments away. Thousands right here in the Smith Center. B-Dot, six man, Carolina basketball ready to set the tone for the season. Follow me. Thank you. That took me right back to the spot. That was brilliant.
Honestly, I love that I can watch it. Obviously, I get to watch it over here in Europe, obviously, on the streaming service. So I get to see things that you may not see. But to be able to see things like that, it's unbelievable. So what I want to do now is I wrote some notes down while I was watching live action. Some things that kind of excited me. We'll focus mainly on the men's basketball at the moment, but mate, the women's basketball very quickly. Shooters as well. 3-point contest. Ava Hodgson?
Ava Hodgson.
Oh, my days.
Just, 1,000 three-pointers. She made 1,000 three-pointers, or she just eclipsed that plateau last season, Eva. Yeah, she's amazing.
Mate, she was lights out, like lights out. When her and RJ won the three-point competition, like I was looking, I actually had to, I was watching her because I'm like, she ain't missing. And then I had to rewind and I watched RJ. Yeah. I'm like, shit, he ain't missing. Like it was right. Just, mate, it was.
And what's
good.
Crazy is before the game, my son Isaiah, he picked Deja and T-Nick. And I told him, Eva and RJ, nobody's beating them. So he still owes me 25 push-ups. As a matter of fact,
25 push-ups.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be coming in here in a second. I'm going to make him do my 25 push-ups right now. On the women, though, before we get to the men, just some real quick recaps. One, I think it's awesome that all last season I called Deja Kelly Queen Kelly. All last season. Queen Kelly. Queen. Now she's out there wearing the tiara. She's fully embraced Queen Kelly. She was just on Carolina Blitz, which is another podcast. Earlier this week, they had Media Day in Charlotte, and she was on there telling them that B-Dot gave her the nickname of Queen Kelly, and it just stuck. I'm the king of nicknames, G. I don't know if you know that, but I'm the king of nicknames. I've been doing it my whole career. When I was the PA announcer at Winston-Salem State, I gave the best, our quarterback, his name was Rod Purvis, but I used to call him Eggs because he scrambled at the quarterback position. So we called him Rotten Eggs Purvis. It was amazing. But nevertheless, big shout out to Deja. Hats off and prayers up to Kayla McPherson. She's down for a couple months. I literally had tears building up in my eyes when I saw that story because I know how much of a bucket she is. Again, she averaged 36 points a game in high school, had to sit out last year with a torn ACL, has to sit out the first couple of months this year. And I've just been waiting to say, welcome to McPherson's. Welcome to McPherson's, over a billion served. And when she gets back on the court, trust and believe, I'm going to have my McPherson's sign. I'm going to be in the Carmichael. They got 15 home games this season. And I ask that everybody come out and watch what Coach Banghart and their team decides to do this season.
Mate, for sure. Like, for sure. We have a great opportunity, a great team. I said to, obviously, I had Coach Banghart. I interviewed her earlier this summer and said that, obviously, the recruiting class, you're just bringing in Paulina. But really, you've got all this red shirt freshmen who are coming in who are, it was like top 10, top 15, top 20 recruits. It was,
right.
It's a.
Not to mention they brought back four of their five starters. The only starter that wasn't able to come back was Carly Littlefield. Yeah. Still got us. We still got Kennedy Todd Williams. Still got Anya Poole. Of course, still got Queen Kelly. You know, Eva Hodgson coming off the bench. Us be a listen like we're stacked. The team is stacked, and I'm expecting some big things. Again, they lost in the Sweet 16, gave South Carolina everything they could handle last season, and South Carolina eventually won the Natty. So I'm expecting them to do very well at home and have a home the first two rounds of the tournament.
They are
be in the car.
They are indeed. So yeah, that's exciting, very exciting. Obviously, an amazing court, amazing arena. So yeah, exciting. Yeah. So. Obviously,
the guy side of things. Now, what did you see? The guy side of things. What had you excited, G?
Well, mate, I do love the entrances because you kind of get to see the players a little bit more. You kind of get to see what they're like. And you kind of forget sometimes that some of these are 18-year-old guys, 18-year-old girls. Like, I remember I was one of the girls. She came out and she was like, wow, like that. And then there's some girls who are just, and some guys who just, they just love it.
Yeah.
Like, literally,
yeah.
RJ, the hood up, the, like, he was.
Yeah.
Dog, man.
Like, who got the loudest reaction from your standpoint? Because we asked about this in Hill's house. I talked about this to a couple of my friends that watched on the stream. Who did you think got the loudest response?
Mate, I'm going to say RJ. Okay. Now, I think Leaky was huge. Like, Leaky got massive reaction, but that was built up right to the end. Like, you're getting Leaky, boom. Like, that's great. Armando was very big, but all they said, I think they literally just mentioned RJ's number four.
And that's all I said.
And there's screams.
That's all I said. I said number four.
Dude.
And it was unreal. Now, I think some of Armando's got a little sabotage because whoever came out right before him, I can't think of who it is right now, but they were from Richmond, Virginia, too.
That was Jackson Watkins.
So when Jackson I said Watkins. From Richmond, Virginia, and I start, they start screaming because they're thinking I'm going to say Armando, and then I introduce Jackson Watkins, and they're like, oh. So then I try to bring it back.
Hey, the biscuit boy. Give the biscuit boy some love. He deserves it. I love Jackson.
The biscuit boys get big love. Landry, Dewey, them are my boys. Like, trust. But I set him up. I sort of set him up to get a little bit louder reaction and sort of sabotage Armando a little
bit, mate.
Just by saying Richmond, Virginia first like that. And I was kicking myself as I was doing it, but I really like the number. He wears number 4 and he wears number 2. The Caleb and RJ reactions, I wanted that same reaction for Armando. And I felt like Leaky did get, especially when Leaky went and held up the Final Four.
Yeah.
It got even louder, you know, stuff like that. So they set it up so Leaky could win for sure. But I wish I could have gotten Armando a little bit louder of a reaction.
Mate, he's going to get a lot of good reactions this year. Like, there's no worries. That guy's going to break record after record. But with RJ, like, RJ's liked a lot. And I remember, this is a story now, very quickly. I remember, I was in, he's not here, okay? So I was at he's not in January. And I was in there, and there was loads and loads of students, obviously. I was at a table drinking with some friends. And I hear an accent, an English accent. So I'm like, hang on a second, you're not from here.
Yeah.
So I went and spoke to this girl. And she's a student here or whatnot. She was doing overseas. And she, like, she said, who's the guy who wears number 4? Like, I like him. Do you know him? I like him. I was like, chill. But, so he's got a lot of fans. RJ's got a lot of fans.
Nah, he does, man. RJ, and he's just got that swag, man. Oh, he's mate. That New York swag, you know what I mean? So, you know, he talked that talk. You know, he real cool. He can dance. He knows the TikTok moves. Word on the street is him and Deja Kelly might be daggone.
I've heard it too. I've heard it over
I've
here.
Heard
the
it,
news
I,
has traveled I, across the seas. The news has traveled.
Has the word traveled across the pond?
Honestly, it's traveled across the pond. There's no evidence yet.
Right. But a lot of rumor, man. It's a lot of comments.
That's a power couple, though, isn't it? That's a power couple.
I would love to see it. Like, I wish, not wish, but if they are a couple.
Of course. If they want to be.
I hope they just broadcast it. That would be amazing.
Oh,
men and women's team, the top dogs from each. Oh, that would be amazing. The best love story in Carolina history, possibly.
Exactly. One of the best love stories in basketball. It knocks off love and basketball.
Yeah. Like, it'd be love and basketball. Carolina. It's great.
Let's call Netflix now. Let's make some money. Let's go.
Right.
No, okay. So you got all these interactions and stuff, and you've got the when they come out. When Armando came out, dude just means business. Like, it was, you can tell, like, he's a senior. Like, you can tell, like he's one of the senior members, and he's the leader. And he just came out like, I'm in business now. I'm here to work. I'm here to get my ring. I'm on a mission. And that's kind of just the vibe I got, just from how he held himself, like how he walked and all sorts of things. So that was exciting. Talking about into the game side of it. Now, the teams, dude, if I was playing, I'd be like, dude, these teams aren't fair. Like, these teams are not fair. Okay, like the white team. All right, you've got, so you had RJ, you had DeMarco Dunn, who, to be honest, if Caleb was playing, would he have been in that spot? Probably. You got Leaky, you got Pete Nance, you got Mondo. Theoretically, that's probably the starting five, is my early prediction of the starting five going against the blue team. Now, would you have wanted the teams to be more evenly? What would you want? Were you happy with the teams, how they were split?
I was more alarmed by how many players were on the roster. 18? 18 is a big number, man. I understand, like, the Biscuit Boys, like, they probably won't get a lot of burn unless it's blowout season, you know, but that's a lot of jerseys. 18, man, you know, you know, and then there are a lot of people worried, why isn't Caleb playing? Why isn't Puff playing? You know, like, it was really more of a situation where they just had a few tweaks, and there's no point in them going crazy in a scrimmage. You know they're going to try to play their best because their fans are there, and then we tweak something. And so it's precautionary more than anything. But I looked at it. That's how practice is, man. Mm-hmm. In practice, you got your starters, and then you got your guys who want their minutes. You know what I mean? Like, so we got to get a little microcosm of what it's like in the day of them. Like, Seth has to see RJ Davis every single day. Every day he has to see him. DeMarco Dunn has to see Caleb Love every single day. And I think that translates to how gritty they are going to be when they have to relieve those guys.
What
I mean? Like, those guys are going to be able to tell them, hey, like, I do this, go left, boom, boom, boom. You know, like, and I think it's a testament to just Coach HD and just him sticking by his guns. Yeah, I'm sure he can mix it up a little bit more. But for what? To make the teams more even? Ain't nothing going to be even this season.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing is going to be even this season. So for the starters, the deal is you're playing these guys that you should beat. And you better beat them the way you should beat them. Mm. The younger guys is like, these guys, they're better than you. They've been here before. They know the system. That don't mean nothing. You still have to execute how you execute if you're trying to get some minutes. Mm. And I love that about HD. He makes them continue to fight. He makes them continue to compete at a very high level. And, you know, we're going to need that this season, G. Because, again, this season, I've said it a number of times, it's just like the 2017 team in the idea that it's the redemption year. Mm-hmm. However, the team is built like the 2009 team, the team that – everybody knew it was your championship to win. Mm-hmm. Are you going to win it?
Yeah. Mate, I'm excited. Now, someone who impressed me, or two players who really impressed me, was Will Shaver and Seth Trimble. Now, little pick and rolls, like early doors, Seth pick and roll, pop, roll, Shaver, dunk. Like, that was nice. That was very nice. Yes. I thought Shaver, he was going up against Mondo. Like, that's what he has to do, like you say, in practice, nonstop. It's Will versus Mondo. Will's a great guy. I really, really like Will. I think he's a really, really good lad. And then, now what was interesting, okay, now Seth. And then, you know, we talked about it in the last episode. I said, are these guys going to play hard? They're playing for minutes. Seth done two chase down blocks, which resulted in fouls. Like, Pete and RJ, like, chasing them down. Now, two things. Am I happy because this guy's playing hard? Like, I love to see it. Two, I'm like, I chill a little bit because I don't want you to injure anyone. But I liked the intensity from Seth Trimble.
Same, man. And I'm from the cloth of don't ever turn it off.
Yeah.
Don't turn it off, man. Like, if that's how you play, that's how you play.
Yeah.
And your body will get comfortable with you playing like that. If your body gets comfortable with you taking plays off, then it's not going to know when to go full speed. So I'm with Seth playing the way Seth played. He wasn't the most impressive to me at live action. He played well, you know, have better outings. The person, I agree with you 100% on Will Shaver. Loved everything he brought. But I'm telling you, DeMarco Dunn, I am so impressed with DeMarco Dunn, man. Like, he's just gotten a lot more confident and a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And he picks his spots now offensively. He plays good defense. DeMarco Dunn is going to be somebody that we really have to watch this season, Jack.
Talking about confidence, I agree with what you're saying completely. How he handled the ball, I was very impressed. Obviously, he was playing with the top guys on the team. Talk about confidence, Tyler Nickel. Now, the reason I say that, a freshman, I'd like to see the stats. I'm sure Inside Carolina or someone's got him. How many shots he took? Like, he weren't afraid to shoot. Like, he wasn't afraid
about
40, to shoot.
About 40 shots. but he hit about 30 of them, though. So you got to be like, yo.
He was confident.
See, Nick, man, he's got a clip. That guy averaged 36 points a game in high school the senior year. He scored the most points in Virginia high school history. Like, he's just a bucket. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to get a little bit better defensively. I think everybody knows that. But his size, he's a mismatch. His skill set is aggressive, and the more comfortable he gets with that confidence, T. Nick is going to be that guy.
And they actually said on the broadcast, last time we had a state, all-state high school scoring player was Kobe White, North Carolina. So, that worked out all right.
And I would like to say, Will Shaver just got to get a little bit better defensively, moving his feet too. Yeah. You remember the two big threes that Bo May had, it's bow time.
Mate, I've got it down.
Bow time.
Oh.
Yeah, the two big threes he had, those were, you know, Will Shaver not being able to close out fast enough. But to see Bo out there shooting just like his big brother Luke, and just to see his parents after the game, and I just said, so we just got a pipeline to the Mays, like Drake Mays over here throwing touchdown, Luke Mays dropping buckets, Bo Mays here. Like, y'all got any more Mays in the stash? Like, geez, we're done. But it's just so awesome to keep the May family, just the families, man. Like, you got the Mays back. You got Seth Trimble's mom and dad. The Tokido family is back.
Yeah.
You know, It's you just
Puff,
beautiful.
We got Puff and Cam. So you've got that.
You see what Creighton, I'm saying?
Like, Labo, and obviously the Labo family. Like, there's a lot of families in the Carolina family. And I know, I noticed that as well. Like, you're looking, you got Puff and Cam Johnson. You got obviously the May family, Bo and Luke May, etc. You got the Lebo family. You got the Trimbles with the JP Tokoto, etc. So I'm like, oh, it's just nice, man. It's just it just feels wholesome and nice. Like, literally, we're keeping it in the family. And
agreed.
That's a big part of Carolina. Is Carolina family. It's worldwide known. So, mate, no, Bo May, I was really, really impressed as well when he came on, like, confidence as well. Obviously, he's a junior, so he's not like a freshman walk-on or anything. He's transferred over. And honestly, I was watching it, obviously, in the middle of the night. So I'm like, is that actually Luke May? Like, it actually looked like, I was like, Luke May come back because he got some years left. Like,
look, that's like him.
honestly, really does. Man. And my final point.
I don't remember the last time I saw this many white people on a Carolina team. I mean, you got Bo May, Jackson, Dewey, you got Rob. I said, where are these white boys going? I looked out there on the floor, there was a whole team of white boys. I said, what is this, the 60s? What Carolina basketball team? No, man, it's dope, man. And you can tell that the guys really enjoy each other, man. Like, yeah, again, it's Carolina family. Ain't no race, ain't no ageism, ain't none of that, man. Like, they all just a tight-knit group, from coaches to players to us, the fans. Like, we really are a Carolina family, dude.
100%, 100%. And my final point, what really impressed me, and I guess I didn't give him a credit because you kind of expect it, but it is RJ. And RJ's crafty. Like, he's very, very crafty. And how he kind of, how his handle, how he gets to the hoop. Now, I've been saying this for the past three seasons, and I've been getting heat for it because it's such a claim. And I'm saying he is so much like Marcus Paige, like how he gets in there. Because people do say Joel Berry because he's got the dog in him, like Joel did. I get that completely. These are two of my favorite players, so I love them both, Joel and Marcus. Right. But how RJ got to the hoop, it was just like how Marcus would. He would get through there and just go in. He's crafty, and I don't think we've seen a crafty player like him in a while, in a long time. So,
got a chance to see RJ's dad in the in the parking lot before late night, before live action. I'm sorry, I like to just get my mind together and just go over my script one last time. He caught me pacing. Last year, Kerwin Walton's mom caught me pacing. But this year was RJ Davis's pops. And I just told him, I said, man, like, I'm expecting RJ to compete for the Cousy Award this year. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that'd be nice, but RJ want a natty. Ooh. And I like that. And it's what's crazy, man. Like, I told you, like, I got different gestures for everybody, you know. Like, an RJ, whenever he comes out, I just always, because he's the smallest guy, but he just puts us on his back whenever we need him, man. We needed him in Cameron last year, he put us on his back. We needed him at Baylor, he put us on his back. He had a double-double in the national championship. That's his first double-double of his career. Yeah. That's putting us on his back. We were 3 points short, but I mean, like, I just love RJ, man. I love Caleb. I love Mondo, but RJ is probably my favorite player just because he can do everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he can score the ball. He's a great decision maker. He's great handles. He can get in there and strap you defensively. Like, I just love what he brings to this team, man. And we're only as good as Armando takes us. But we're only as good as RJ too, man, because this NCAA is built on guards, and we need strong guards. And yes, we know that Caleb can be a little impulsive, and we love that about Caleb. But the fact that RJ is always, he always seems to be locked in.
Yeah, of course.
You got to love that.
Mate, excited. Now, I loved it. It gets me even more excited. We've got, is it a month now? How long is it? Less than a month now to wait?
That's October 28th, man. First game against Johnson C. Smith.
Okay, Wow.
Yep.
So, very. Yeah, that's the exhibition game, right? And then
and then we
kick off UNC Wilmington.
Yep, UNCW.
Last game. I think it's a 9 p.m. tip. I'm like, oh.
It is. That's a super late tip for sure.
2 a.m. tip. But anyway, but mate, I'm excited. You're excited. I think we showed all the fans there. Let's talk about the fans very quickly. We spoke all about the players, okay? Mate, left, right. Like, that's swag surf, okay? Yeah. We, as you know, we did invent it, but we're pretty good at it.
Yes. And I had to make sure I said that. And it's so accurate, man. As a Carolina family, you know, like, again, the swag surf in a stadium, that was started at HBCUs, no doubt about it. My alma mater, Winston-Salem State University, we're on record as doing it the absolute best, no doubt about it. Big shout out to my boy DPDMC. He's the one who actually started the slowing it down version. He's the basketball announcer over at Winston-Salem State. And, you know, I just adopted that and brought it to Carolina. And as it pertains to PWIs, we do it better than any PWI. And you can send me some footage of your PWI trying, and we will put it side by side and we will see. But it was my first time in the Smith Center at live action where the entire Smith Center was doing it. Like, usually at a game, I know my student section is doing it. I got a couple, you know, folks that's doing it, my older fans, and, you know, up in the, but this was everybody on your feet, put your arm around the Tar Heel fan, start to the left, and go. And I mean, it was just awesome, man. It was dope to see 10,000 people, 11,000 people, just all on the same page and just us having a great time with it. We sang Sweet Caroline. Yeah. That was a great time. We gave away prizes. People said it got floor seats to the Duke game, got tickets to practices to take pictures with the team. Nice. And there was a young lady there, or not a young lady. I'm going to say a young lady. Her name is Peyton. She's 7 years old. She designed a Dunkin' Donut, the Minecraft donut. And it's dope because 50 cents of each donut will go to the Children's Hospital, something that, you know, we care a lot about in Carolina. So it was just a great environment for all the fans, the entire six man. Again, we're all six man. When we're in the Smith Center, we're all six man. You dig? All of us. We got that six man energy. It is our job to make sure we bring enough energy to propel the team on to victory. And I think we got a great start at live action.
When you watch that broadcast back, I recommend you watch it back, but especially during the swag surf bit where on the ramp, it was obviously the lights were down and they had like a fluorescent blue light. Okay.
Yeah.
And the guys behind the ramp, they were putting like, it was good. And it looked sick behind the light.
I got to get the footage.
Honestly, I'll send you it. I've got it on my phone still. So, mate, it was great. It was great. Okay. We have not even spoke about this very quickly, and I'm going to throw something at you very, very quickly. No warning, and it's very controversial. Apologies to not warn you for this. But I'm going to give you I'm a Tar Heel butt, all right? So I'm a Tar Heel. I know that. But I don't really like jump around. Now, I know I said it was controversial. I said it's controversial. Hey, come back.
What about? Have you lost your freaking mind? You're an idiot.
Let me explain. Now, jump around, I think it would work really well if it was all in a crowd. But because people don't know what to do. Like when I was there, I'm like, you don't know what to do. Like with swag surf, you've got a left and a right. You kind of go in, we're going. But with jump around,
you're supposed to just jump around, just jump up and down.
Don't get me wrong. It's better than Cascada. I get that. Don't get me wrong.
Way better
than of course Cascada. It is. That's just stupid.
Oh my God.
But personally, I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye on it this year and see if we can. I'll keep an eye on it. But I know that's super. It's probably the most controversial thing I've ever said, and I've said a lot of controversial stuff. So.
Probably, I almost questioned your Tar Heelness. I almost made you take one of them jerseys down. I don't know. But then you're right. There may be other fans that's like, you know what, G? I'm with you. If you agree with G, let us know in the comments. We're all in these comments all the time.
I try to say controversial stuff. Mine was it was the tea last time, so that got people talking. So let's see if people are going to talk about jump around. So get the people talking. But anyway, move on from basketball because this week is Duke Week. Now, regardless of the sport, regardless, women's soccer, women's lacrosse, football, doesn't matter. It's Duke Week. So whenever we're playing them, whatever sport, it matters because that's the rivals. And it's always on. Now, obviously, football is more your expertise. I think that's fair to say. Football for me, I'm used to. I play football with my feet, so That's the difference. So, but for you, you know plenty. But I know that this is a big game, and I know we're better than Duke. I know that at least. I know we've got Drake May, who is a robot, who's just unbelievable. But what are you expecting from this week?
I'm expecting a big game, G. And to just say we're better than Duke, you can't quite say it like that. It's sort of a tie at the top of the ACC Coastal. Carolina, we're undefeated in the ACC, and Duke just fumbled to Georgia Tech in overtime, 23-20 on the road. So they have one loss. So we're right now first place in the ACC Coastal. But if we should happen to fall to Duke this weekend in Durham, it'll be a three-way tie in the Coastal. And so we can win this week and go to 3-0 in the ACC, and Duke will fall to 1-2. And that will really give us some good separation, give us outright. We'll probably win the Coastal. A win this week will also immediately make us bowl eligible with 6 wins. Again, a lot of people are questioning, will we get 6 wins this season? It's really preposterous. A lot of folks are saying Drake May needs a bounce back game, even though he threw for over 300 yards last week, 2 touchdowns. He did have those 2 interceptions. They are a blemish. I mean, you got to understand, this kid had been playing like Superman. He had 19 touchdowns, no interceptions. So anytime he has a blemish, it's like, oh, wait a minute. He's not as good as we thought. Yes, he is. It's still Heisman May. And he's still going to be jumping over people trying to score touchdowns because that's just how he plays.
Dog. He slid. He slid this week.
I watched the game. I'd rather him jump. If that's how you're going to slide, I would rather you jump. Damn it.
I was watching because I heard that his parents have tried to like convince him that you need to start sliding. Like the coaches have tried. Good. Now resorting to the parents to tell him like, good, dude, you just slide.
Help you, stupid. But they got a quarterback in Riley Leonard. He's missing one of his big weapons on offense, his wide receiver. But Riley Leonard doesn't throw a lot. Duke has one of the worst passing offenses in the ACC. But contrary to that, we have one of the worst passing defenses in the ACC. So something is going to have to give. They like to run a lot. We've got a strong front 7, but we've got to make tackles. I do think we can beat Duke and win the Liberty Bell. Coach Mack Brown has not lost to Duke or Miami since he's been back in Chapel Hill. That bodes well for us. But Coach Elko, in his first year at Duke, he has built a very strong, confident, speedy bunch. So we're going to have to bring our A game, not a game to look past. But the Carolina Tar Heels, we are 5.5-point favorites, and we should get this dub.
Do you know what time's kickoff? I haven't noticed.
8 p.m. Saturday 8
p.m. night. 8 p.m. So late. And the game takes like 4 hours. So you're looking at, if I watch that game, I stay up for that game, it's 1 a.m. start, and it won't finish till 5 a.m.
That is crazy.
Like, when it's an early game, I'm like, yeah, I can watch it. Boom. Great.
Right.
I watched the
noon game.
Yo, sort of. What was Miami one? What time that kick off?
The Miami game last week.
Yeah. I watched that one. That wasn't that late.
Yeah, that was like a 3. That was a.
I can do that. That was it. I could do that. That was quite. I liked that. That was nice. Yeah. But,
well, I'll let them know over here. Can you all
cheers.
Your programming so G can watch over there?
I appreciate that. Speak to the NCAA, ACC. Let them know. Like, think about this.
My guy was trying to watch the game. Damn it.
Okay, well, that's the football. I'm excited. Drake May is this because at the start of the season, I didn't know much about it. I tried so hard to try and learn, and I tried to really try and increase my knowledge over time. Now, Drake May at the start of the season, it was a debate who was going to be quarterback. Like, we were debating, weren't we? Correct. Yes. Now, obviously, we just had Sam Howell, who we believe was going to be Heisman Howell. That was the season that was predicted. Obviously, it didn't go how as planned. Obviously, he got picked up by Washington in the draft. Fantastic. Really hope he really gets his more of an opportunity over there.
Same.
Did we really expect Drake May was going to be this good?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. See, Drake May, he could have went to Alabama.
Yeah, he did. That's true.
Drake May could have went anywhere. And, you know, the fact of the matter is he's a freshman right now, and there's a sophomore that's super upset because the sophomore thought – that he would take Sam Howell's spot. But Drake May outplayed him in camp, and we're seeing why, man. Like, this kid just has the intangibles. They're comparing him in games to people like Patrick Mahomes and stuff like that. We talk about crafty. He's crafty with a football like R.J. Davis is with a basketball. Like, he can just get the ball in the basket. He can get the ball in the end zone. And then you got guys like Josh Downs. Caleb Hood is his second start last week. He was a quarterback in high school, but now he's starting to learn this running back role a lot better. You got Omarion Hampton, so they got that power and that lightning and thunder type thing back there. Listen, this offense is built to roll. If we can get that defense to make tackles, because Coach Chizik is calling schemes to put guys in the right spots, but guys have to make tackles, man. And last piece of good news for my Carolina football fans, British Brooks. British Brooks will be returning next season. So we'll have Caleb Hood, Omarion Hampton, and a six-year senior British Brooks in the backfield. It's going to be tough.
I've had a lot of people tweet me thinking I was British Brooks. You see the resemblance? You see it? Not at all. But yeah, yeah, literally people with British Tar Heels. So I've had people tweeting me as British Brooks, not the same guy. No, but yeah, Drake May, obviously, he was actually, he committed to Alabama and then he decommitted.
Yes.
So I forget that. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. He's been a stud, man. Like Carolina fans have been watching him since he was a sophomore. Mm. And, you know, it was all just the whole situation with his brother, Luke May. We hope we had the pipeline. Of course, his dad played at Carolina. Yeah. So it was just great for him to come to us, man. Just the whole May family, just even going back to Bo May. Just after the game, you were all out there in the front taking pictures. And he's just so happy, man. I said, you ain't nothing but a little Luke for real, man. Just smiling and happy, man. Like, it's a great day to be a Tar Heel, for sure.
He's instantly loved, isn't he? He's instantly loved. And, like, Luke May could do nothing wrong. And so Bo's, like, Luke's really set him up very well.
Yes,
so,
yes. Okay. No, the May family, we love the May family. Love them.
Of course. Now.
Two more things that I wanted to revisit from live action. And we got a super fan story, don't we?
We do. We do in a moment. But, yeah, let's go.
I just wanted to say I want to remind you that they got rings, the Final Four rings. Those were so gorgeous.
They did.
And I was hoping that they was going to surprise and be like, and we got one for you too, B-Dot. But they did.
You made the team photo again. You made that team photo again. I saw that. Did they invite you over? Or did you just slide in? Okay. Just checking.
Kirsch was like, yo, Dot, we're taking a damn – Steve Kirsch, he was like, yo, we're taking a team picture after the game, and you definitely have to be in it. I said, boy, y'all are really accepting you, boy. Y'all are really accepting you, boy. No, but the rings, and secondly, HD had on a shirt. Mm-hmm. On the shirt, I didn't know what the names were. He had Lenny on the shirt, and he had
Adamola.
Adamola on the back.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask him, but I paths never crossed for me to ask him. And I was like, Adamola, I know that name, but I don't know from where. Couldn't find out. It was he was showing some love to two of our fallen Tar Heels, Lenny Rosenbluth and Adamola Okalaja.
That's correct.
Who we lost over the past year. And I really didn't realize that in that moment. I wish that I would have asked him in that moment so he could have said that to the fans.
Yeah,
because I know that folks saw it and maybe they were ignorant like me. I know there's a lot of people that knew exactly what those names and numbers meant. But for some reason, it just would not click. And I was speaking to Lisa Davis, HD's wife, and I was like, what were the names? And she told me, I was like, Okalaja, of course. Lenny, I might not have known. But Amendola, Okalaja, I should have known Okalaja as soon as I saw Amendola. But
dude, you should know Lenny. Like Lenny,
but I mean, what I'm saying
jersey is retired. His jersey is retired.
Hear me. What I'm saying is just seeing Lenny, you might not know. But seeing Adam, you should know that name. Goes with Okalaja, and then I should have put them together. But you're right; definitely should have known.
I guess I'm a nerd, and I love Carolina history. And Lenny is obviously National Player of the Year, retired jersey up in the rafters. Like Lenny, like a lot of our listeners will probably say, Lenny is one of the greatest ever Tar Heels.
When I tell you I'm super unfamiliar with Lenny, everything you just said to me was Brent. My first time here. Only ACs, National Player of the Year that I know is Anton Jameson. I know that for sure. That was a Carolina Tar Heel. And we only had two, right?
No. So we've got quite a few. So obviously, Tyler was National Player of the Year.
I'm
so,
tripping. Duh, yes. Tyler
MJ, National Player of the Year. So any jersey that is retired is because they've won National Player of the Year. It's the only way you can get your jersey retired at Carolina.
So, National Player of the Year. I don't think that's the title. That's the title I was thinking about for Anton Jameson. Anton Jameson has some record that he's the only, like, it's only him and like two other people or one other person that has it. But I can't think of what.
He also won National Player of the Year as well. That's why his jersey is retired too. He probably won. I'll look into what other awards that he got at his time in Carolina. But yeah, it's that's the interesting thing, and what I keep wondering. Does five get retired this year? If Armando wins National Player of the Year, a traditionally point guard number retired by a big. That's the storyline that I'm kind of keep an eye on. Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, honestly, Lenny's a legend. And I spoke to Adam Lucas about Lenny and had stories about him that he was just around the program for many years, an unbelievable man. And like I say, a lot of our listeners, some even may remember, probably remember Lenny, and we'll definitely remember stories of Lenny for sure.
If you would like to share any of them, please. I would love to hear them. Please hit us up, send us an email to thesuperfanshow@gmail.com. We will definitely bring you on and let you tell us any superfan story that you may have about the great Lenny. Listen, I'm a superfan, yes. But I am not all knowing of the history of North Carolina basketball. That's why we created this platform, so that fans like you can educate fans like us, and we can all be on the same level of fandom.
And there's going to be fans who love Lenny, who grew up with Lenny. There's going to be fans who grew up with Phil Ford, fans who grew up in the 80s with Worthy and Jordan, 90s, of course, like yourself, who you grew up with those guys. Now, the super fan who you spoke to this week, tell me a little bit about them, and we've got his story.
Yeah, JJ, man, he just hit me on Twitter. He said that he wanted to let us know his super fan story of his account at late night. He wanted to let us know of live action. I apologize.
Live action.
He wanted to let us know who got the loudest reactions. He wanted to let us know who he came with, what he's excited about this season. And here goes.
Let's go.
Hey, Sir George and BDOT. This is John from Missouri. Sending this video out to you guys to tell you about my experience at Live Action. This was kind of an adult Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of thing for me. My dad was a huge Tar Heel fan, raised me and my brother to be Tar Heel fans, and we lost him a couple years ago. And Leaky Black's dad actually works with my mom, and just as a great gesture of kindness to our family, he invited mom to go to Live Action, and for my birthday, she included me to come along. So this was my first time being in the Dean Dome. It was magical. George, you know what that's like to walk in there and to see the banners and to see the floor. So we got to go in and to sit in the great seats about four rows back. I could see Hubert's sweat on the back of his neck. So I have been a super fan my whole life. And so this was an awesome experience for me. Some of my favorite moments. One, I gotta say, not expected, but I loved the swag surf. Me and my 60-year-old mom swag surfing with, 15, 20,000 other people. I gotta say, it was a lot of fun. I did get to meet some of the players afterwards in the practice gym, and I gotta tell you, they were so kind. They were so cool just to spend a few minutes with somebody they don't know that loves Carolina. And so those were a couple of great moments for me. I gotta tell you, the people who got the biggest response were Armando, just as a player, but more response than that, I think, was the banner. When Leaky pulled that banner out, the roof almost came off. I thought that was awesome. So this season, I am looking forward to a couple of things. One, I'm excited about Tyler Nickel. He is a pure bucket. But also, he's got a little bit of that Tyler Hansbrough, that motor. He just doesn't stop. I love it. It was almost like some of the guys seemed annoyed at how hard he was playing in the scrimmage. So that was great stuff. I'm also looking forward to the fact that my kids are at the age where they're getting into the game and they're loving it. They're stressing out about games. It's fantastic. This feels like another 2009 kind of year. So I'm excited to see how far this team can go, and I think it's going to be another fantastic season. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate that, JJ. Listen, anybody have super fan stories, please send them in, all right? what's the email? The superfanshow at gmail.
Easy to remember. Easy.
Super, super easy, man. Send us your videos. Send us your super fan stories. We would love to share those every single episode. But to wrap up, I know we're way past 30 minutes.
We'll get better. I actually want to know, because we talk about this all the time, we want to keep it to 30, 40 minutes. Does it bother you guys that we go over? Like, we're still going to try. I know it bothers you. We're still going to try to get to 30, 40 minutes because that is our target. But please let us know.
Yes.
Does it bother you listening to us for this long?
Yeah, like, because I want to know where you're listening. Like, are you at work right now listening? Are you in the gym? Are you in the car? Like, how do you digest this content? And we need some more assistance before we tell you what not to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Ooh. Help us design a logo for this show.
Yes.
We got some great artwork. That's our artwork, a picture of us, me and G, him sipping tea, me feet kicked up. But we need a logo. And in my mind, you know, the Superman logo with the S in the middle? Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a Superman logo, but an S and an F for Superfan. I think that's how it should look. If there's anybody out there that does graphics, design work, and it might not be that. It could be something else you think of. Please shoot me your idea for a logo. TheSuperFanShow@gmail.com. Send us your ideas. And who knows? You might be able to get a couple of dollars in your pocket for designing the Superfan Show logo.
Love it. Love it.
Now it's time for Don't Do That.
Don't do that. Let's go. Yeah,
I mean, this is one of those bits that's growing really, really fast on social media. Everybody's hitting me up with stuff. Hey, Doc, tell them don't do that. Hey, Doc, tell them don't do that. I'm going to tell you what you better not do. There is a man in California, okay? And he is suing Texas Pete Hot Sauce.
I saw this.
Is he suing Texas Pete Hot Sauce? Because he says he was tricked. He says he was duped. He wouldn't have bought that Texas Pete Hot Sauce if he would have known that that Texas Pete Hot Sauce was made in North Carolina. And I said, I know you lying. I know you lying. Listen here. Nobody ever said that Texas Pete was made in Texas, ever. It's right there on the bottle. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We don't know where Pete was from. Pete could have been from Texas, G, and came out to North Carolina, found Winston-Salem, and was like, yo, it's hot out here. I'm going to make some sauce. There's a lot of hot things that come from North Carolina. A lot of greatness that comes from North Carolina. I told him, CP3, B-Dot, I'm from North Carolina. The Tar Heels are from North Carolina. From Winston-Salem specifically, Josh Howard, CP3, Pam Greer, Winston-Salem State University, Wake Forest University. Krispy Kreme Donuts was founded in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And let me tell you something, God suing, Krispy Kreme Donuts ain't crispy worth a damn. They're very soft and very moist, if I must say. Ain't no preachers and nuns at the church's chicken, and Kentucky Fried Chicken is right here in North Carolina. My point is, shut your mouth. Don't do that. Don't be suing Texas Pete. Texas Pete is the best hot sauce on the planet. It is a national treasure in North Carolina and must be protected at all costs. Don't do that.
I love it. I love it. I didn't know Krispy Kreme was from Winston-Salem. Did not know that. Sir. And yes, I'm going to have to go get some Krispy Kreme soon and photos just because. Texas Pete, I need someone to deliver that, send that international shipping across because I'm going to need some of that. Mate, love it. That was great. Okay, my don't do that. Now, mine was controversial last time. I seem to have wind up a lot of Americans.
Yes, because you're ridiculous.
So I'm going to do that again. And no one decided to really message me this weekend. They got a little bit sour because I don't know if you saw on Friday night just gone, it was England versus USA in women's football or women's soccer, as you guys say.
And we won. Sure, we won.
And you lost 2-1. And no one talked about it. I went on SportsCenter, wasn't on there. Went on ESPN, wasn't on there. Don't do that. If you lose, accept that you've lost. I understand women's soccer is huge in America and you guys are the world champions. Well, you just lost to the European champions and we are coming for you in the World Cup. So what I'm going to say is when the World Cup comes, it's going to be England versus USA in football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. Don't be sour again. If you take a loss, just accept the loss. and that is okay. That's my other controversial don't do that. I'm ready for the comments.
I can't wait to read those comments, G.
Honestly, I couldn't believe it because you guys, you're ranked better. You are the rankings, the world champions, but we beat you. And people are commenting, oh, it's just a friendly. Well done. It's a friendly. I don't care. You still played Megan Rapinoe. You still played all your best players. And we still beat you. And the girl from my hometown, a small town in Norfolk, England, scored a goal. We beat you guys 2-1. Wow. Represent, proud. Well,
we'll see y'all when it matters.
Save the king.
We'll see y'all when it matters, okay? Long live the king.
Long live the king. God save the king. bless the queen. But, mate, amazing. Another great episode. Another great episode.
Episode 2 in the books.
In the books, mate. We've got a long season ahead, but I am so excited.
Say less.
Mate, see you soon.
Okay, bye.
It's the Super Fan Show, Super Fan Welcome Show. Welcome to Carolina, Super Fan Show, Super Fan Show. You gotta know the British Tar Heel and the Six Man. UNC on the wristband. It's going down like quicksand. All the fans keep listening. It's the Super Fan Show, Super Fan Welcome Show. Welcome to Carolina, Super Fan Show, Super Fan Show. What you know about the Six Man and the British Tar Heel? Every year's our year. Coming straight from across the pond to the Carolinas all year, yeah. England and NC, we connect. We connect. One thing I know they gon' respect. Gon' respect. Shout out B-Dot and shout out George. Shout out the team, shout out the boys. We in the Dean Dome on the floor. We on fire, we got the stat sheet, they can't deny. Coming from the free throw line with my tongue on my mouth, whole crowd like, damn it, he fly. Ready for the tip off, damn it, it's time. We ready to eat, he sipping his tea. Cut my skin bleed, Carolina blue. The spirit of the Tar Heels living in me. Super fan show, super fan Welcome show. Welcome to Carolina, super fan show, super fan show. You gotta know the British Tar Heel and the Six Man. UNC on the wristband, it's going down like quicksand. All the fans keep listening. It's the super fan show, super fan Welcome show. Welcome to Carolina, super fan show, super fan what show. What you know about the Six Man and the British Tar Heel? Every year's our year. Coming straight from across the pond to the Carolinas, oh yeah, yeah.
You want your coaches going on with super fans who don't know squat? Okay, gotcha. What does that get you? It gets you crap like this.